ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading the glories of Lord Ananta, 5th canto, chapter 25th, verse, text 4. The pink transparent two nails on the Lord's lotus feet are exactly like valuable gems polished to a mirror finish. When the unalloyed devotees and the leaders of the snakes offer their obeisances to Lord Sankarshan with great devotion, they become very joyful upon seeing their own beautiful faces reflected in his two nails. Their cheeks are decorated with glittering earrings, and the beauty of their faces is extremely pleasing to see. Text 5. I will read just the translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Ananta's arms are attractively long, beautifully decorated with bangles, and completely spiritual. They are white, and so they appear like silver columns. When the beautiful princesses of the serpent kings, hoping for the Lord's auspicious blessing, smear his arms with aguru pulp, sandalwood pulp, and kumkum, the touch of his limbs awakens lusty desires within them. Understanding their minds, the Lord looks at the princesses with a merciful smile, and they become bashful, realizing that he knows their desires. Then they smile beautifully and look upon the Lord's lotus face, which is beautified by reddish eyes rolling slightly from intoxication and delighted by love for his devotees. Purport. When males and females touch each other's bodies, their lusty desires naturally awaken. It appears from this verse that there are similar sensations in spiritual bodies. Both Lord Ananta and the women giving him pleasure have spiritual bodies. Thus, all sensations originally exist in the spiritual body. This is confirmed in the Vedanta Sutra, Jammadyasya Yataha. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has commented in this connection that the word Adi means Adi Rasa, the original lusty feeling, which is born from the Supreme. However, spiritual lust and material lust are as completely different as gold and iron. Only one who is very advanced, highly elevated in spiritual realization can understand the lusty feelings exchanged between Radha and Krishna, or between Krishna and the damsels of Braj. Therefore, unless one is very experienced and advanced in spiritual realization, he is forbidden to discuss the lusty feelings of Krishna and the gopis. However, if one is a sincere and pure devotee, the material lust in his heart is completely vanquished as he discusses the lusty feelings between the gopis and Krishna, and he makes quick progress in his spiritual life. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yat kripa tamaham bande shri gurum dinataranam. So, we know that this material world is a reflection or a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. So in the same way, this material body is also a perverted reflection of the spiritual body. The same way that in this body we feel sensation, we feel pleasure, we feel pain. Of course, in a spiritual body there is no pain, only pleasure. That's the big difference. We should always remember that this material body we have now is something accidental, something we have done by mistake. It's not our original position to be in a material body suffering from old age, disease and death and reborn again. And it's not our nature. That's why nobody feels comfortable in this material body. Everybody trying to make this material body comfortable, but it is just not possible. It is said in the Bhagavatam that for the spirit soul, the material body is like for an ass having a donkey having a big load of firewood, you know. It's very heavy, suffering. So the same way, the other day one devotee asked me, I read something that people when they leave their body, they feel so much relief and they see some light or some tunnel or something. How is that they're living a sinful life and they feel so much happiness and relief? So I explained to him that naturally, because the material body, the gross body, is so heavy on the soul, that to be free from it for a moment and to be in a subtle body, of course you will feel some relief, natural. But this is only one part of the picture, it's not the whole picture, what comes after that. That they don't know, because they didn't went through all the experience, just part of it. People who supposedly been near to death and they didn't die, so they sometimes plan, they feel so much nice things. But there's only one part of the picture, it's not the whole thing. So, anyway, so the Lord Ananta, feeling pleasure in the company of the princesses, that means that the Lord, not only the Lord, but the damsels with him, they also had the spiritual bodies. Because the Lord never enjoys nothing material. He is not attracted to enjoy any material body. That's why in the Gopal Tapani Upanishad, there is a nice pastime when Durvasa Muni went to visit Vrindavan. So the gopis wanted to serve him prasad. They have cooked some preparation for him. And they asked Krishna, Krishna, how we can cross the Yamuna river, because the sage is on the other side of the river and there are no boats. What can we do? Krishna said, no problem. Just stand with folded hand in front of the Yamuna river and tell her that Krishna is an eternal brahmachari. Then the Yamuna will open up for you and you can cross. So they went. They did that, and Yamuna, you know, opened it up, and they crossed, and they served Durvasa Muni nice feast. And after they finished, Radharani asked Durvasa Muni to come here. We have to say Krishna is an eternal brahmachari. What we have to say to cross it back? And Durvasa Muni said, well, you just say that the sage Durvasa didn't eat at all. So they were surprised. So Rahani inquired from him, how is that you didn't eat? We saw you eating a big feast. And how is that Krishna is an eternal brahmachari when he's having so many girlfriends, the gopis? And in Dwarka, he will have so many, you know, thousands of wives, a big grihastha. How is then he's in a brahmachari? So Durvasa Muni smiled and he said, Krishna is not a materialistic enjoyer. So he doesn't enjoy anything different from him. So all you, the gopis and the queens in Dwarka, they have eternal spiritual bodies. So that's why Krishna sports with you. So one definition of a brahmachari means he doesn't enjoy any material bodies, you know, opposite sex, is celibate. So in that sense, Durvasa Muni said Krishna is an eternal brahmachari because he never touched any material woman. He doesn't sport with any materially conditioned women. So in that sense, he's eternal brahmachari. I am also not a materialistic enjoyer, said Durvasa. Although you saw me eating a feast, I also was seeing myself eating the feast. I was separate from my body. I was just witnessing how the body was eating. He knew perfectly. He was self-realized soul, so he could see his body eating, but he knew that he wasn't eating. That's what is said in the Bhagavad Gita, that a self-realized person walks, sit down, eat, sleep, open his eyes, close his eyes, go to the bathroom, whatever. But he knows he is not doing anything. Just the body is carrying out the material function. He's away, he's aloof from that. So in that way, Durvasa Muni explained to them. They were very satisfied. In the same way, the Lord's enjoyment is transcendental. And we should never be imitated. Like the Sahajas, they try to imitate the Lord's pastimes. But the Vaishnava challenged them. First lift the Govardhan hill, then you can dance with the girls, with the gopis. Don't do it before. Okay. So the whole idea is that in order to free ourselves from lusty desires, we should first try to understand from where they are coming, from where, what is their origin. Jammadyasya yataha. Everything is coming from origin. This Adi, Bishwanath Chakravarti explained, means the Adi Rasa, the original Rasa, which is Madhurya Rasa. So unless it is there in Krishna, can't appear in us here in this material world. Once a devotee was talking to Prabhupada, and he was telling him some argument he had with one person, that this person was saying that Krishna was lusty because he had so many wives. And Prabhupada said, all right, then if he's lusty, then he's unlimitedly lusty. Then the devotee told Prabhupada, this man also said that Krishna was dancing with somebody else's wife at midnight, that this wasn't moral at all. So Prabhupada became angry, actually, in the sense to defend Krishna. He said, Prabhupada told him, no, he is the immoral person, not Krishna. Krishna is the owner of everything in creation. That means also all women belongs to Krishna too. So if you have a woman, means you are taking from Krishna a woman that belongs to him, not the other way. So that reminds me, once I was going on a train from Calcutta to Delhi, and one Indian gentleman, I think was a professor, he wanted to have some conversation. So he asked me, why Krishna had 16,000 wives? I told him, why only 16,000? If his God is unlimited, why only 60,000? He can have 60 millions or more. What's the problem with that? He said, well, if he can have 16,000, at least I can have at least 4. I told him, okay, if you can expand yourself to be with them at the same time and have a house for each one of them, then that's okay. Do it. The queens didn't have to wait 16,000 nights to see Krishna. He was simultaneously with all of them at the same time. So that is, means God. That's the power of God. Can you do that? Anyway, so then he asked other question. He asked why Krishna's family, the Yadus, killed each other. You know, they got intoxicated and killed each other. How is that if it is Krishna's family? I explained to him that actually that didn't happen. Although it is there in the Bhagavad, but the acharyas like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explained that this was a mystic exhibition by Krishna to bewilder the atheistic people, like a magic trick. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains one story of a family of magicians. They went to perform in front of a king in the palace, and they were doing very nice magical tricks. So the queen was very pleased, and she took a very valuable necklace, valuable stones, and she gave it to one of the boys. They were a couple and two young boys. So the other boy wanted to have also the necklace. Start to argue with his brother. Give me the necklace. Why should I give it to you? She gave it to me. They start to fight, and they took swords and start to fight, and they killed each other. They fell dead. So the mother, when saw her sons dead, she also took poison and killed herself. And the father, when he saw all his family dead, he took a knife and killed himself. So imagine, you know, all the blood and dead bodies, you know, as they were horrified, you know, they had to do, you know, the cremation and everything. After a week, the king received a letter from the magician saying, we were rewarded by our magical tricks, but our last magical performance of our death, we were not rewarded for that. So if you want to reward us for that, we are in such and such address. So they went there, and they were there alive. And everybody saw their dying, killing each other, killing themselves. So if a magician can do something like that, what to speak of the supreme magician, Krishna? So he made appear to the whole world that the Yadus were killing each other, but they didn't. It was just yoga maya thing, mahamaya, whatever Krishna's doing. Also, in the beginning of the 20th century, there was a famous magician in Calcutta. I think his name was Banerjee. And he was performing in one big theater, and many, many English gentlemen and ladies came to see the performance. And it was at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So you know how English are about time and everything. So it was 4:15, and he didn't show up, they became a little disturbed. But when it was 4:30, he didn't show up, they became very angry. They started to shout, you know, we want our money back, you know, put him in jail. 4:45, say, if he comes, we will hang him. He showed up at 5, and everybody was so angry and shouting at him. And he said, what is the problem? Why you are so disturbed? And how can you say that? You said the performance was at 4 and it is 5. Say, what are you talking about? Look at your watches. And everybody looked at their watches and was 4 o'clock. That was his first performance. So if a magician can do something like that, wonderful like that, what to speak of Krishna, the supreme magician? Huh? He's so wonderful that he makes us believe that we can be happy in this material world, with a material body. That's a magical trick. Even we hear every day about it, we're still not fully convinced. Isn't it? So, but then, of course, Prabhupada's also here saying that we should be careful not to discuss the lusty feeling between Krishna and the gopis if we are not free from lusty desires, because can be dangerous in the sense that our lusty desires can be awakened by hearing those things if we do it in an improper way, of course, an improper association. Of course, Prabhupada wrote about that in the Krishna book, so we are reading it. But Prabhupada very clearly explains everything in the proper way, so we can't, you know, get confused or anything. Still, we have to be careful about that, not to stress too much that, unless we become more purified, definitely. But it is not fully prohibited to hear about that. But not only that, that's the problem. Somebody feel himself or herself so advanced that they only want to hear about Krishna and the gopis and nothing else, then that's the problem, if they are not actually liberated from material desires. So, but if one is sincere and surrender and respectful and hear with the proper way, then by hearing from the proper source those pastimes, his heart can become free from lusty desires. But this is what Prabhupada is saying at the end of the purport. So we have to balance those things in a proper way to understand them properly, the proper perspective. Yesterday there was some mention, Mother Nanda was saying that we have always to take instruction from Shastra, Guru and Sadhu. And somebody asked, who is a sadhu? The devotee next to me, how can we know who is a sadhu? It's a very good question. And actually, the Shastra explains what are the qualities of a sadhu. First, the Shastra said, prasangam ajaram pasam atmano kabayo vidu saiva sadhu shokrito moksha dwaram apavitra. That an intelligent person knows that material attachments is the cause of suffering and entanglement in this material world. But this same attachment, when it is directed to the sadhus, the great souls, can open us moksha dwaram apavitram, the doors of liberation. So Lord Kapila explains what are the qualities of a sadhu. Titikshava karunika suridam sarvadehinam ajata shatrava shanta sadava sadhu bhushanam. Sadhu bhushanam means the ornaments of a sadhu or saintly person are titikshava karunika. Titikshava means very tolerant and karunika very merciful. Prabhupada said that Jesus Christ he exemplified those two qualities by forgiving the people who wanted to kill him. Please, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. So that is very tolerant and merciful. He's friendly to all living entities. He's friendly to even to his own enemies. Of course, the body doesn't have enemies. That's another quality. Ajata Shatrava means he has no enemies. One name to Yudhishthira Maharaj was Ajatashatru. His enemy was never born. He never had an enemy. So one may say, how is that possible? Duryodhana was his enemy. You know, all his brothers were also his enemy. But he never saw them as enemies. That's the thing. They may have seen him as enemy, but he didn't do the same way. Of course, there are stories in Mahabharata exemplifying that. When Duryodhana wanted to laugh at the Pandav in the forest, with going there with his army, you know, all this, and he disturbed the Gandharva, and so the Gandharva defeated him, and he was imprisoned by the Gandharva. And one soldier escaped and told the Pandavas about it, and Bhima and Arjuna were laughing. Yes, it's good for him, you know, because he came to laugh at us in the forest, that he's deserving what he's getting. But Yudhishthira said, no, we are cousins. We have a problem between us. But if a third person comes between us, we have to defend. So Arjuna, I wanted to go and free him from this Gandharva. So Arjuna had to go and fight the Gandharva, release Duryodhana. And the Gandharva was pleased with Arjuna's prowess, and he gave him some celestial weapons. But he brought Duryodhana in front of Yudhishthira. Say, what should I do with him? He said, just release him, let him go. Ajata Shatrava. Shanta. Shanta means peaceful. The sadhu should be peaceful. He should not disturb anybody and should not be led disturbed by anyone either. Shanta is peaceful. Even if there is disturbance, he doesn't get disturbed. He remains calm. So these are some of the qualities of a sadhu. So if we see those qualities, or at least some of them in a person, then we can understand this person is a sadhu. So we all have to become sadhus. Yes. But we shall develop those qualities, and those qualities are developed just by practicing Krishna consciousness. It's becoming more and more Krishna conscious naturally. We don't have to make a separate effort to achieve them, just by advancing Krishna consciousness, by hearing and chanting and remembering more and more about Krishna and his pure devotees, then we can become naturally advance and develop all good qualities. So I will stop here. Are there any comments or questions? Yes. Yes. Correct. Correct. Very nice. He can cut our material attachments by his instructions, like Vidura did with Dhritarashtra. He helped him. That's another definition of a sadhu.
I just had a little story. We were talking about how one should become free from sex desire, and that, you know, we shouldn't go ahead of ourselves if we're not free from that. I was in Srila Prabhupada's presence in Mayapur, and there was some talking about women and dressing, and it was a whole conversation. But then at the end, one of the mothers there, she made a comment how Srila Prabhupada, I think they call us mother, but they don't act like we're mother. So then one sannyasi said to Srila Prabhupada, well, I think Srila Prabhupada, when they think of mother, they think of women, and then they think like Maharaj Kulikshekhar, when I think of women, I just I want to spit. Sex life, I want to spit. Prabhupada said, first let them become free of sex desire, then let them spit.
That's the point, because he was free from sex desire, that's why he could do it, not artificial. Yes. Can somebody please give the mic to Lakshmi Narasingha from me? By the way, today is the disappearance day of Shripad Madhvacharya, so if there is time, we may talk a little bit about him too.
Two little stories. One was in 55th Street. There was a theater group. I think they were called Govinda's Players or something like that. And they put on this play called The Age of Kali.
That was in 76?
Yeah.
In Ratha Yatras?
Yes.
I was there too.
Oh, yeah? Do you remember that play?
Yeah, I remember that.
So anyway, it was a wonderful play. And Lord Taksha and Mother Rasika in particular,
yeah, right.
She played Sen. So she was very seductively playing this role as Sen. And Prabhupada was sitting right, it was a little auditorium, a little theater,
yeah, right.
If you remember. Prabhupada was sitting right in the middle, he was surrounded by
right.
Sannyasis. So then after the play, some of the sannyasis objected to Mother Rasika's dress and the way she was playing this role as Sen. And the Prabhupada said, if you were so agitated, then go to the forest. Because
yeah.
Prabhupada really liked the play.
Yeah, yeah. actually, what Prabhupada was holding a red rose in his hand and was smelling it. And sannyasi sometimes tried to look somewhere else, but Prabhupada was looking and smiling. But then also Prabhupada heard that he told them that you'd understand the mentality of a pure devotee. That when he see a beautiful woman, he admire Krishna's creation, or Krishna created such a beautiful thing that makes everybody bewildered. That he himself is not bewildered. That's the point.
And then the second story is about magic. Prabhupada was talking about one Bengali magician who wanted to find out if this guru, South Indian guru, was really, really Bhagavan or what.
Yeah.
So he went down to see him, and he sat down in front of him, and the first thing that he did is this so-called guru pulled a sweet from his ear and handed it to him. So then the magician looked at him, and he reaches over to his ear, and he pulls a rascal out, and hands it to him, and then got up and left. So Prabhupada says, like this, you know, so many people are thinking that they're God, but they're just magicians.
That's true. Okay, so Sri Padmadvacharya is, you know, we are coming in his line. This is Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. So Madhvacharya, you know, we belong to his Sampradaya too, because he became disciple of Vyasadev, and also Madhavendra Puri is coming in that line too. We are related to him. So Sri Padmadvacharya, he took Brahmin initiation at the age of 5. His name was Vasudev. One day his father woke up and didn't see him. You know, it was very early in the morning, it was dark. So he was very in anxiety looking for him here and there. And he found him at the temple in Mangalarti. And he asked him, "Who brought you here? You're a 5-year-old boy. How you came here by yourself?" "I don't know, somebody took my hand and brought me." That was the Lord. And then one day came a person to his house. His father wasn't at home, was at the temple doing some seva. And his father owed some money to this man. So he came, you know, "I need the money." You know. "Say, sorry, father is not here." But he said, "Well, I'm very much in need of this money." So he told him, "Please wait." So he went to the backyard of his house and took some tamarind seeds and pressed them with his hands, and they became gold coins. So he gave it to that man. "Well, this is more than your father owed me." "Doesn't matter. You can, you know, because of your patience, you can get it all, no problem." And so when he was 12 years old, he took sannyas at the age of 12. His father was unwilling, actually, but his father told him, "You can't take sannyas because you don't have a brother." He said, "Okay, I will wait until you have a son, then I will do it." So after his father, you know, and mother had a son, then he, at the age of 12, he took sannyas. And he had done so many miracles too. He was not only very powerful physically, but also spiritually too. I mean, once he was preaching with his disciple and went traveling through a jungle, and a tiger came to attack them, and with his bare hand he defeated the tiger, killed him. And another time two wrestlers came to challenge him. He said, "First you have to prove your strength, so I'm going to chant the names of Krishna. And if you can stop me by squeezing my neck or choking me. So they tried that with both hands and they couldn't do it. So they asked, "From where are you going all the strength?" And so he preached to them, they became devotees, became his disciples. Also, once he was meditating on Lord Krishna at the seashore. He was born near Udupi, in the south. He was actually an incarnation of Vayu and Hanuman. And suddenly he saw a ship sinking in the ocean in the middle of a storm. So he waved with his claws at the storm and made the storm stop. Was Vayu, so he could and the ship was saved. So the captain came to offer him gold and jewels and everything. He said, "No, I'm a sannyasi, I don't have need of those for those things. But we want to give you something." He said, "Okay, I only want 3 big lump of tilaks you have on your boat, you are using to balance the boat. So I want those three lumps of tilaks. How do you know why I have that? I was waiting for them here. So took 30 men to carry those lump of tilaks that he by himself he could carry all of them. And he took them to the temple and washed them in the ponds. And the first one, the tilak broke up, and inside was the deity of Lord Krishna. That's Udupi Krishna, with a stick in his hand for taking care of the calves, some yogurt and butter in his hand. And this deity has a very interesting story, actually. When I visited that temple some years ago, I heard it there, that once Mother Devaki was lamenting, she was talking to Krishna, that I could not see your childhood pastimes. Yashoda was more fortunate than me. She could enjoy your childhood pastime, but I'm so unfortunate. I'm your mother. I couldn't do it. So to please her, Krishna told her, okay, I can do it now. I can become a child and please you right now. So he became a child and started to do all so many pranks and, you know, so many mischievous activities. So she became very delighted. And Rukmini was also watching behind the curtain, all those lilas. So then Lord Krishna manifested the deity of himself like a child. And touching the head of this deity, he installed the deity. So this same deity is the one that Madhvacharya got from the tila. And two other deities was one of Balaram and the other one was of Vishnu. And once he wanted to go study from Vyasadev at Badarikashram in the Himalayas. And his disciples went with him. But he told them, wait at the temple and I will go. I don't know when I'm coming back. So one of his disciples was very attached to his guru and he was trying to follow him, you know. But Madhvacharya was jumping from one stone to another very easily. His disciple was struggling, you know, so much. He came to a point he couldn't go further or go back. So he started to shout at his guru, Guru Dev, please help. And the guru, Madhvacharya, turned back and he saw him. With the movement of his hand, he made him fly in the air and land at the temple safely. And then he studied under Vyasadeva. He wrote commentary on Bhagavad Gita and Vedanta Sutra. Alright, so there are no comments, questions. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Shripad Madhvacharya ki, Gaura Premanandi.